I'm sure all of you have heard of a company called Apple, Apple Computers. And when Apple fell on troubled times, Steve Jobs traveled from Silicon Valley to New York to convince John Sculley of PepsiCo to help his struggling company. And after Steve made his appeal to John, John replied as following: "You'd have to give me $1 million salary, $1 million bonus, and $1 million severance to leave PepsiCo." Flabbergasted, Jobs agreed if Sculley would move to California, but Sculley would only commit to being a consultant from New York. At that, Jobs issued a challenge to Sculley. "Do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugar water, or do you want to change the world?" In his autobiography, Odyssey, Sculley admits Jobs' challenge knocked the wind out of him. He had become so caught up in Pepsi, his pension, and concerns about family change, that he almost missed an opportunity to change the world. He went to Apple and became part of what was a new beginning for all of us. Now, admittedly, Sculley's time at Apple was challenging, but also saw some great progress as well. And the reason why I share this story with you here today of these two titans of business, not only in our country but in the world, what it communicates to me is simply this reality, that there is power in vision, incredible power in vision. And for Steve Jobs, probably the only person who could have said that to John Sculley, "Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life, or do you want to change the world?" Not only were his words timely, but prescient. They certainly saw the future of what was going to happen, even more, I think, than Steve Jobs knew at the moment. Vision is a very important part of every human being's life, and not just for humanity in general, but in particular for the church. In Proverbs 29:18, we read, "Without a vision, the people perish." Without a vision, the people perish. And vision, quite simply, is to have a direction for one's life, to be inspired enough by God's Spirit that you have a sense of purpose in God and a sense of what God has for your life. And the reality is that for every human being, and again, this is one of the reasons why every human life is so sacred, from the womb to the tomb, if you will. Every human life is so sacred, not only because God is part of the creative process of every life, but God has a destiny for every life, a vision for that life that he has uniquely planned for them. And we see in the scripture, God communicates his vision to his people or to a person, and he expects a response. In fact, there are many biblical call stories where God is communicating repeatedly his vision to people and to persons throughout the scripture, and he awaits their response. We see this in the life of Abraham, of Moses, of Ruth, of Mary. And you can, again, just go all the way through the scriptures. I don't have time this morning, but there are so many different stories about God imparting his vision and his call into specific people's lives that it is undeniable. You can't miss it. And one of the things that you and I learn from these call stories, these stories of God's imparting his vision to these people, is that their response matters. You know, God doesn't come to them asking them what they'd like to do. He comes to them with a message of what he's calling them to do. But even in that call, there is a choice whether or not to follow. And you and I both know that. You and I have had the experience of hearing God's call in our life in different ways, and there have been times for each one of us where we have said yes, where we have said no, and where we have said maybe. But what I want to say to you here today is whatever your response has been, your response matters. Your response matters in terms of the kingdom of God and what God is doing, what God has planned for your life and for his kingdom. Your response matters in how it affects other people's lives. And one of the things you could say to yourself, and I'm sure Sculley might have said this to himself as well, is, well, you know what, even if I don't go, Steve will just find somebody else. And maybe you thought that as well. You know what, if I don't really listen to what God's calling me to do, it doesn't really matter, because God will find somebody else. Well, maybe that's true, but maybe it's not true. And the other reality is that is the wrong statement for you to make in reply to God's calling in your life, because the point is God is calling you. And God knows what he's doing. And so again, our response to God's call and invitation in our life matters. And what we have here today actually in the reading from 1 Peter is God's vision being communicated to us for his church, one of the visions. And I invite you to turn with me in your bulletin today to take a look at that, because this is where I'm going to spend my time with us today. And in 1 Peter 2:5, we read, "You, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." And quite simply, God's vision in this particular reading from Peter is to build a spiritual home with living stones. I've never worn this stole in this church before today, and I know all of you have been looking at me partly for that reason. It's like, what's this guy doing today? And this is a very unique stole. This was actually a stole that was given to me as a gift at one of the parishes I was at before, working with the youth. I had a big youth group, and all of the kids had their hands cut out on paper, fabric, I should say, and then it was all sewn on this stole and presented to me as a gift. What a beautiful gift, huh? And they all have their names on here as well. If you want to look a little closer later on, you're more than welcome. There's Ralph, there's Melanie, there's Joey, there's Jeff, all kinds of kids on this stole. But I believe I was moved by the Spirit to wear this today, because as I was coming in here today, I decided to wear this as a living illustration, if you will, of living stones, living hands. Each one of these kids' hands are unique and different. Different fabrics, different names, different personalities, different genders, different destinies, everyone unique and different. And yet all of them are a part of this stole, and all of them are part of the kingdom of God. And the same is true with you. And that is what we're hearing today in 1 Peter, that God is wanting to build a spiritual home out of living stones. And that would be you, and that would be me. That's part of God's vision for his body. And he goes on in this particular scripture to talk about what these living stones look like, that they will be holy priests. And again, holiness is someone who is set apart to God. A priest is someone who offers sacrifices before God. And it says specifically again in this scripture that you will be, as living stones, offering spiritual sacrifices to God. Now, our spiritual sacrifice for you and I here today is not going to be later on today offering bulls or lambs or things like that in a fire. It's the offering of ourselves. It's the offering of ourselves and our lives fully and completely to God. That's our spiritual sacrifice. For us, as we live out our lives, it is the sacrifice, if you will, of our sin, of leaving the sin that is a part of our life, of leaving the darkness, and walking in his light, of confessing that sin to him, maybe for the 100th or 1,000th time, that we might again experience his mercy, his cleansing, and enter more deeply into his light. Our living sacrifice, our spiritual sacrifice to the Lord, is surrendering to him each and every day of our life. Surrendering maybe to the reality in which we live, and on some days that's wonderful, on some days you don't want to get out of bed. It is also embracing the spiritual sacrifice of worship. It is coming together here on this day, and my hope and prayer for each one of us is throughout the rest of the days of this week, taking time to worship the Lord God Almighty and to praise him and to sing to him and be caught up in him and to be so caught up in the worship and the praise and the honor of God that we actually forget about ourselves. Imagine that. That we actually forget about our to-do list for an hour out of our week. That we actually forget about what we're going to be doing later on in the day. And we are so caught up in this time of worship and being before God and honoring him and blessing him and praising him because he is so awesome and wonderful and incredible and full of light. That's part of our spiritual sacrifice. And it's the sacrifice even of our very lives, if that's what it comes to, like so many of our brothers and sisters are offering up unto our Lord throughout our world, even on this day, in following him. You are a holy priesthood set apart to God, called to offer spiritual sacrifices, the sacrifice of yourself. You are a chosen people, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you might declare the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I love that sentence. It just keeps going on and on and on. And you know what? That is a mystical sentence about the church, isn't it? I mean, you kind of read that. You can read that and your eyes just kind of glaze over. It's like, what is he talking about? That is full of so many incredible descriptions. He lost me after the first one. But you need to go back and read that again and again and again. And you and I need to begin to embrace that, because I believe that is part of what the contemporary church has lost. The church has been so much evangelized by our culture. We have become so secularized that we no longer know what it is to be holy. We no longer know what it is to be mystical. Let me read it again. We no longer know what it means to be a chosen people, set apart, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So many in the church, if they are honest, would not be able to say that about their lives. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. And I've seen it, so I know what I'm looking for. I just don't see it. And the reason why I don't see it is because in a lot of ways, the church is not entering into it. We aren't embracing the mystical, spiritual, holy calling that God has given us. And it means that you and I will be different from the world. It means you and I are a chosen people. It means that our lives are going to be different. Does it mean the church is going to be perfect? Well, we're not there yet. I blow it. You blow it. We all blow it. There's a sense in which the church is full of the Lord's light, and there's a sense in which the church is full of our darkness. But it's a journey, isn't it? It's a journey. There's a saying that I read, I believe it was in one of Friedrich Buechner's book about the Ark of Noah. He goes, I believe the sentence was that if it wasn't for the storm on the outside, they wouldn't have been able to stand the stench within. And it was an image of the church that he was talking about. Sometimes it can be that way, can it? Sometimes it can be that way. But God is inviting us to something more, to something deeper, to something that can only be accomplished by His mercy. He's calling us out of darkness into His wonderful light. And that means you and I need to actually be in that journey of moving from the darkness of our lives into His light. And it's a process. It's a process of journeying together in that and growing in that together and moving more fully and deeply into His light. A week ago was Mother's Day, and our family got a card for Jan. And on the front of that card was one of those Thomas Kincaid pictures, you know, the painter of light. And it had all these sparklies on it, and it was a very bright house with lights coming out of the windows on a dark night, and there was all kinds of snow around and stuff like that. Beautiful card. It was really great. But it reminds me of this message today. You know, beloved, there are so many people who are walking on a very dark path right now for themselves. I mean, they are in darkness. They are without hope. And let me just tell you, as they are walking along the darkness in their life, as they come upon a house that is full of light, they're going to notice. Whether that light is noticed in your life, they see it in you. It might be in this church. It might be among a fellowship group. People are looking for the light. And when they see the light, they will come and knock on the door and hope to be invited in and welcomed in to the place of light. That is what God desires to do among us, is to build a spiritual home with living stones that are full of light. His home, our home, uniquely created in Him. And let me just say, it's a wonderful thing to be building a home. There were about 22 of us last week on Saturday who were at Habitat. We were working on five different homes. I kind of lost count. There were so many. We were going from house to house. There was the caulking crew working on seaming the caulks. And if you ever the breaks in the finishing and the strips that are along the wall. And if you ever need a great person to lead you in that, Tish Gullo is the perfect person to help you with that. We got some caulk on the strippings. We got a lot on our hands as well. There were people that were painting. I want to say they got more on the walls than they did on themselves. That's a good thing. There were people that were doing the siding and people that were working on the framing. And along with us, people were working to whom the homes were going to belong. And they had smiles on their faces. There were kids there. There were mothers and there were fathers there. There were mothers that were working on their homes the day before Mother's Day. But let me tell you something. They were excited because they were looking forward to the day when there was going to be a celebration by Habitat that their home was completed and they were going to be given the keys. It is a wonderful thing to be part of building a home. And it is a wonderful thing for you and I to be part of what God is building in this place and what God desires to build in his kingdom. And it's important for you and I to be aware of that and to be open to be the living stones where he wants to set us in his place and in this house. So let me ask you a question here today. Do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugar water? Or do you want to change the world? What is God's vision for you and me? What is God's vision for the kingdom? He has a vision of a living people who are alive in his spirit, who have received his mercy, who have said yes to his light, penetrating the very depths of their darkness and walking in that light. And when they fall, and when they stumble, and when they sin, and when they break God's heart and they break one another's heart, they're able to receive so fully of the mercy of God that they walk even more fully and deeply in his light. That is God's vision and dream of what he is building. And let me share something with you. God is not about selling sugar water. God is out to change the world. That has been his mission from the very beginning. God sent his very best in his son. He said, "This is my son. Listen to him. I am well pleased with him." Jesus got God's stamp of approval totally and completely. God is out to change the world. His mission has not changed. The question is, are you and I on board? Are you and I on that train? Are you and I willing to be a part of that home? Are you and I willing to be part of the change that God wants to bring about? God is about to change the world. And as God speaks to you and me, whether it's through his word or through prayer or through the Holy Spirit or through others or through lives or through your dreams or your struggles, as God is speaking to you, make sure of one thing, that the living stone of Jesus, is the foundation of your vision. Make sure he's the foundation of the spiritual home that you belong to, that you and I might be completed and built together and established exactly how God wants to do it. A home that is full of light, a home that is increasingly following him, and a home that is established to be a beautiful lighthouse for those who are traveling through the night.